This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hello everyone. I welcome you everyone. And first of all, thanks Marco for being so obedient. When you said that to think about Thanksgiving, what you have to thank. And that time I was holding my daughter and I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to thank God that I have two legs, two hands, and I can hold my daughter and praise God and worship Him. Sometimes we need a reminder just for thanking God. Sometimes we overlook the basic things and we search for something which we feel like we don't have anything to thank. But yes, we have. We always have something to thank. Before I move into the sermon, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. We thank you, Lord, for the breath that we are taking. The breath that you have breathed in our lungs, Lord. It's yours. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand together and praise and worship your name, Lord, because you are the only one worthy to be praised, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that today we can come together and receive your word, Lord. Speak to us through your words, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today I'm going to bring the word which is related to why me. I'm pretty sure that we might have or we have sometime or frequently in our life this situation. And today I'm going to speak about when we are righteous in Jesus, when we do everything what He wants, what He is willing, when we discern His will and walk, and still we get into troubles, we still get into problems. It's like we have a compass in our heart, and we think like, okay, this is the point where God is taking us, but there is in between, there is a diversion, and everything changes. And then we come to a point when we are frustrated, when we are like, why me, God? Why is this now? Why do you want me to do this now? Why is this happening with me? Why is this happening with my family? Why is the situation like this? I never thought of like this, Lord. And I'm quite sure each and every one of us might have gone through this kind of situation. Today, I want to bring our attention to the person in Bible who is Job. From his life, what we can learn. We know that Job was a righteous man. He was blameless. He was honest. He was a good father. He was a good husband. He has everything what he needed. He was really, he had a lot of things in his life. He had prosperity. He has name. Today, if we compare it with the modern life we have, the present life, we have family, we have job, we have house, we have everything what we need. And suddenly, the next day when you wake up, everything went away. Think of the situation in the current scenario where Job was there. When the Satan went to God and said, Job always thanks you and he is obedient because you have given him everything in his life. Take it away from his life and he will not be obedient. Satan challenged God and God said like, okay, I will let you take it away. Do anything what you want, but do not harm him. And suddenly we see that Job moved into a situation where he lost his family members. He lost everything what he had. He was filled with disease and all the infections in his body. It was painful. We see how he was on the mountain and he came down to the valley. The situation was so bad that even his wife asked him to curse God. We see from the book of Job, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" Today morning, when I was meditating on this verse, his wife, I'm quite sure people who are married, after God, your wife would be the closest person in your life. And you can imagine how Job was suffering in his life, that the closest person in his life was telling or asking him to curse God. And it's very difficult when you are walking in faith and the closest person doesn't understand your faith. And it also reminded me today morning that our faith, our trust on God should not be based on the relationship that we have around us. Job here says, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" Is it that we only expect good from God? Yes, of course. God is a good God. He does everything good. He is good. There is no bad, no evil in him. But still, why a righteous man goes through a trial? Why a righteous person goes through hardship? Why a righteous person goes through suffering? Sometimes I see in my life, I'm giving my best in my work. I'm doing everything what I can. I'm trying to be loyal in my job. And still I see people are going ahead of me. Yes, of course, to be very honest, I feel bad. But still, I know that God has a purpose for me. God is taking me to a place. And today we want to see when we have, we'll see when we have such kind of situation in our life, when we see that doesn't make any sense. It's a purposelessness. It's hopelessness. The situation, we do not see any hope. Why are we there? Everything was going good and suddenly everything broke down. We will see what we need to do in those situations. The first thing is that we will see today is we may not be able to choose our circumstances, but we can choose our response. This is really, really meaningful when we look. We do not have control on our situation. We do not have control what's going on in our life. We do not have control what's going around or surrounding. We do not have control, but what we have control on is our response, is our attitude. It's our response in those situations, how we behave, how we think, how we trust, whom we speak to. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Though outwardly we are growing old, we are growing weak, we are weaker day by day, we might have some disease, we might lose strength, we might anything. But God is more concerned about our inward. And spiritually, we should get more and more strong. From the part of India where I'm coming from, people say, if you're a believer and the believer is like an old person, like maybe he is there with God maybe from 30, 40 years, we say him that they are spiritually matured person. They are stronger in their spiritual life. Because the more you physically get weak, the more you get strong in your spiritual life. The more you come to know God, the more you spend time with God, you get stronger and stronger in your spiritual life, in your faith, the way you see your life around you, the perspective of seeing life around you. God is more concerned about what's happening within us than without, for he is in control of all things. God can control everything, anything which is happening around us. He can control. We cannot control. But he has given us a free will. And the free will is our response. How do we respond in those situations? God will never try to control your response. He will never. It depends upon you, your will, how much we love God, how much we trust him. Therefore, our response to the circumstance of our life is the choice that we make. We see it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. I'm not saying this because I am in need. This is Paul says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. To be contentful, to be satisfied is the main thing that we really have to learn. To rejoice in the Lord in every situation. You know, we are gifted with this behavior to rejoice in the Lord. But until and only we put this into practice, we won't get to that point. Everyone can rejoice in the Lord, but until and unless we put it into practice, it is really easy. Every time when I come here and share the gospel, I say that it is very, very, very easy to thank God and worship him and raise your hand when things are going very well in your life on the mountain. It is very easy, and it is very, very tough when things are going against you in your life to thank God that time, to raise your voice, to worship him and praise him in the same way when you are on the mountain. We see in Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You know why it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Because until and unless we rejoice in the Lord, it shows that how much we trust in him, how much our faith is strong in him. Rejoicing is the evidence of our trust in God. It might happen sometime that it doesn't make any sense. You can think about it. Why it is happening? There are two options. Either you can go to God and say, why it is happening with me? and keep on asking Him. Or you can ask God, God, what you want me to do? What's the purpose? What's the potential of this situation? I have not mentioned it in the slide, but I would like to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. It reminds me of some situation when we have a lot of spices. I'm from India and we use a lot of spices in our food. We have a lot of spices and sometimes I'm confused what to put and what not to put. You know, and it's really important because the amount of spice that you put in food can take it to a next level and or can make that person really go to toilet or multiple times in a day, you know. It's really important. And this reminds me that God is asking us, whatever you have in your life going on, give it to me, submit it to me. I will make the best out of it. You know, it's when we suffer, when we go through the hard times, and I'm not talking about those situations when we make bad choices, because situation changes when we make bad choices or when we go against God or when we do something which is ungodly. I'm talking about situation when you walk whatever God is telling you to say, do, or whatever. A righteous person, we are righteous in Christ. And when we do something which is really good and everything is going on and you are walking according to His will, God wants you to sit, you sit. God wants you to stand, you stand. God wants you to eat, you eat. Whatever you do, God wants you to speak with this person, you speak with this person. God wants you to pray for this person, you pray for this person. God wants you to share this scripture, you share this scripture. And still you go into a trial and tribulations. I'm talking about those situations. And this, the response that we have in those situations can tell you how much we are in faith, how much we are on the water, how much we trust on Him, how much we depend on Him. And those response sometimes lead us to thinking like, you know, lead us to think about the capability of God. We try to put God in a box and think like, oh, this is not possible. This is not going to happen. Oh, this is, of course, this is not possible. This is not going to happen, I know, and all kind of thing. So we do not trust God. We forget His promises. I was reading somewhere a few days back that there are more than 7,000 promises in the Bible. More than 7,000 promises are there in the Bible. But still, we try to rely on our thinking. We try to rely on the worldly understanding. The next thing, the second thing that I want you to see today is the real issue in our suffering isn't about who or why. The real issue is about what. So whenever we are going through the suffering, we ask God, why me, God? Why every time it happens with me? Why every time that person comes to me? Why it is with me, not with other person, other people? Either we can continue asking God why, or we can see what we can do to glorify His name in those situations, what we can do more to love Him, why God wants us in those situations, what is the potential of that situation. We'll see from the book of Daniel. I think everyone might know this three person who is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were three people, they were three person. These three person were there in the times of King Nebuchadnezzar. I will read from Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter 3 verse 19 to 27, which is not there in the slide, just to give you an context what I'm talking about. In verse 19, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Can you imagine? It was so hot that the soldier who was throwing them, he died. He was killed. "And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?' They replied, 'Certainly, Your Majesty.' He said, 'Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and 4th looks like a son of the gods.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them." Yesterday evening, I came to Utrecht Central to meet one of my colleagues. He just came back from Romania. His father is suffering from the last stage of cancer, and I don't know how many months he will survive. He was there working from home from last 4 or 5 months from Romania. And he came and I asked him, "How is your dad?" And he said that he is not well. I asked him, "How much time do you have?" And he said, "Don't know. The doctor has said that 6 months, but sometimes it happens that the person can continue maybe for 2 months or maybe for 2 years. So they gave just an estimation. I asked him that, "Can we pray for him?" And he said, "Yeah, we can pray." And I asked him that, I invited him to the church, and he said that he wants to come to the church, but he was really surprised that he can come to our church, because he is from an Orthodox church, and generally from Orthodox church, I don't know if they are allowed or not. He was really surprised that I can come to church. I said, "Yeah, you can come to. Everyone is allowed in our church." The point is that when I came back home at around 8:30 in the night, I opened my door. My wife was already in the house, but she was making my daughter sleep. I smelled that something was burning, and I just ran towards the kitchen. And I saw that the vessel which you use for steaming, you know, I don't know if you have seen that the vessel which are used for making dumplings. You put the dumplings on the kind of a plate which has holes, and then the water boils under it. That was, the water was dry and just the vessel was, you know, fully black and it was burning. And now it reminds me that the whole house was smelling like it was burning, you know, something was burning. And here in the scripture says, their robes were not scorched and there was no smell of fire, no smell of fire on them. Can you imagine how powerful our God is? And now we see in Daniel chapter 3 verse 18, but even he does not, they say, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of God you have set up. They say, if you want to throw us into the furnace, you can throw us. Our God will save us. And then again he says, but even if he does not, even if he does not save us, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. That's the kind of faith. I do not know if I will live in this situation. I do not know if I am going to die or live. But I know through my life, through my situation, I will glorify his name. And that's what happens sometime in our life. We have to. God puts us into fire for his glory so that we can be strong in faith. We can know more about him and his name will be glorified. And that's what happened. We see that they were put into the fire 7 times more hotter into that furnace and still they were alive and people saw the glory of God. We see in Psalm chapter 73, verse 25 and 26. It says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When I was meditating on this scripture, it reminded me of the song that we have in our regional language in India, where this person sings, he says that, God, to whom I will run, there is no one. To whom I can trust, God, there is no one. It's only you whom I can trust. It's only you whom I can depend on, I can rely on. And that's what the psalm says, that my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So we see our response is the reflection of our faith, our trust in him. The third thing is that God will never waste a heart. Don't focus on the problem. Look for the potential. The main problem that we have in our situation is that we make the situation so big that we make God small in front of the situation. That's what I said, that we try to put the ability of God in a box. We try to frame him in a box. We see in Romans chapter 8 verse 28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Remember one thing, when we walk according to his will and we have challenges in our life, he will take us through those challenges. And as I speak, it reminds me that that's our God is. He takes us through the storms. He takes us through the fire. He takes us through those valleys. He doesn't lift us up and put onto the mountain, or he lifts us up and says like, no, I'm not going to put you in that situation, don't worry. No, he takes us through those situations so that when we come out of those situations, we are renewed, we are more strong, we are more strong in our faith, in our trust. And every time I see that when I go through some difficult times in my life, and when I come out of that situation, every time I take some time and I try to analyze what I was thinking before the situation and what I am now after the situation. And to be very honest with you, I really find myself more and more strong in faith, more and more relying on Him. I would like to read from the book of James. It is not there in the slide. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything." Let that situation go away. Let that situation, when it goes away, when you come out of the trial and tribulation of that fire, you will be shining. You will be matured, more matured spiritually. You can trust God in every situation. You can rely on Him. And that's the character that we develop. That's how we know God. I cannot remember where I was reading it, but I was reading about it. It might be somewhere in some podcast, or I don't know, but I read or I heard, I don't know, maybe 1 year back, that this guy was telling about the character of God and how we can know the character of God. How we can know the character of Father. And he was giving an example. He was telling that his dad taught him how to swim. And then once, what happened is that he was swimming, and it was a kind of a local race, you know, in the, like, the boys, they were like almost like 15 or 14 years of age, and they were of the same age, and they were doing a kind of competition. And then this guy, he was there, he was the part of the race. And when he was swimming, and when he was in the mid of that racetrack, somehow he got tired. And when he got tired, he started, the water started going into his mouth and nose, you know. And he lost his confidence. And he thought that he was drowning. And he started to drown, actually. And his father was there along the people who were cheering. His father was there. When his father saw him, he jumped directly into the water and saved him. And then this guy was writing and saying that, "I came to know the character of my father, that whatever happens to me, my father is at my back. He will be there to support me. Whatever." So that's what happens when we are going through trials and tribulations, which we do not expect in our life, which doesn't make sense. God puts us into such situation to let us know that He is our Father. We can trust in Him. We can rely on Him. Let's see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, what it says. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So the thing that we have to focus is the potential of the situation, what we can do to glorify God, to seek Him at that moment, to seek His face, not to magnify the problem, the situation that we have in our life, but to seek His face, to know what He wants us to do in that situation, what we can do to glorify His name. And this reminds me of Lazarus. When Lazarus was died, Jesus delayed it. He delayed the miracle to happen to glorify God. With this, we come to an end. Today morning, when I was just going through the slides, and it reminded me of a song which is written by Michael W. Smith, Sovereign Over Us, and I just wrote a few lines. It says, "Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You are with us in the fire and flood. You are faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and your glory. Even in the valley, you are faithful. You are working for our good. You are working for our good and for your glory." With that, it brings us to the end of the sermon today. Before I go and pray, I would like to request you to take a moment and think when you go back home that how do we respond when we go through those situations. And the response that we have reflects our faith, our reliance, our trust in God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you reminded us that you are faithful. You always want the best of us, Lord. The best for us, Lord. Yes, Lord, that sometime it is necessary that you put us into those fiery trials so that we can more rely unto you. We can trust you. We can come closer to you, Lord. Lord, help us so that when things doesn't make any sense, situation doesn't make any sense, so that we can rely on you, not on our understanding, but your understanding, so that we can discern your will, so that we can raise up your hand in those situations and worship you, praise your name, glorify your name, and thank your name, Lord. Because, Lord, you are in control of the situation. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the free will, the free choice to respond. Guide us, Lord. Guide us in those situations, Lord. We thank you that we are not alone, Lord. We are not alone in those situations. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.